Blog Talk Radio.
Transmissions, we were seen, I tried to
Welcome, everybody. Welcome, everybody, to the Capital T. I am your host, Anarchy Monroe. And today I have one of my favorite people in the U.S. of A., Miss Alyssa Pagan.
Hi.
How are you, sis?
I'm all right. Let's get this thing started.
All right, before we get into the topic of the show, could you tell everybody just a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, my name is Alyssa Pagan. I live in Portland, Oregon. I'm originally from New Jersey. I've been here for about 3 years. I'm an organizer and an activist with quite a few progressive organizations like Jobs with Justice. And I'm a student at Portland State University majoring in women, gender, and sexuality studies. I am engaged politically and ready to talk Trump.
For those who are hearing this show for the first time, I am Anarchy Monroe, political activist. I do a lot of commentary, social commentary. I run a nonprofit called the Get Naked Movement. I do a lot of mentoring, outreach, safe sex, adult films, you name it, I do it, and I'm here to make it hot, so let's just skip through it. And I really want to just jump on something that is very important to me. Like, as over the last few months, the Black community as well as the LGBTQ community have been having issues in regards to Trump. I would like to say most of the major political communities of color have had issues with things Trump has said and done. But most recently, when Trump showed up in Chicago, that to me was a very interesting moment. And for those who don't know what happened, Donald Trump was scheduled to have a rally in Chicago, and he was met with thousands of protesters. And once the protesters showed up, he shut down, tucked tail, and ran. And his strategy was to demonize those who showed up and protested him by calling them all thugs. So I'm going to turn this over to you. What do you think about this situation, Ms. Alyssa?
I was really and still am really inspired by the people in Chicago that mobilized so quickly against him. And I hope that it happens in every city that he goes to.
All right, I agree. You know what?
Yeah.
I'm supposed to be professional, but y'all know I have a serious lack of professionalism when it comes to my radio show. I'm just raw.
Good.
I just want to take a minute to say I want to thank Chicago for taking a day off from shooting each other and blowing up the streets to come tear up Trump. I really want to thank y'all for, one, tearing up the right enemy territory instead of your own. Congrats to that.
All right. There's also something to be said about the conditions that people live under that push them to the brink and make them desperate enough to live a life where maybe they might have ops, right, and that they need to handle them. Nobody chooses that life first. That comes from poverty. That comes from degradation, and that comes from police surveillance and violence. That's something to think about.
I must concur with that, and I agree. What really just catches my attention, what actually truly at this moment inspires me and makes me really think is they are so politically and socially aware of their economic situation. And those people who are in power, who are reinforcing their poverty, they are so aware at this moment that this is like the face of the people who are keeping them to poverty and to minimum wage jobs that don't reinforce the success of their community, their home. And I keep telling them they're not good enough. And to me, that was really inspiring because oftentimes I'm thinking a lot of people don't know. They know that there's a problem. They know that there are people in high places who are doing it. But for them to recognize and put a face to it really just had me like, wow.
It's very inspiring that people are able to identify the source of their own problems. That is something that I hope catches on, and more people become aware that, by and large, they are not the cause of their own poverty and their own degraded living conditions. So,
I think the reason why Trump is part of the topic of the focus of today's show is because Donald Trump is a symbol, at least in my personal opinion, of what I have talked to my counterparts and I've called the opposing war in the U.S. You've got two major political views, I feel like, that's happening. You have people who are dying out who are like Donald Trump, and then you have these other half of people who are like Bernie Sanders, who are wanting political change. They want to take big government and make sure we get all these not advocacy groups, but forget what they're called. They just go out and they hit up political leaders, offer them money, and say, hey, if you do this,
lobbyists.
We'll do this for you. So, yeah, lobbyists. I'm so sorry. I cannot believe I forgot that word. And Bernie's like, we have to get rid of the lobbyists. We have to get rid of all these Fortune 500 companies and all these big banks, and we have to get rid of all this stuff that's tearing our community and our great nation apart. And then you got Trump, who's like, let's make America great again, and let's deport people of color, let's put up walls around our country, let's you know, demonize people and support violence against others. And it is very interesting to see that climate shift that we've seen over the last few decades all come to a head, in my personal opinion, all around this election.
Yeah, it's very interesting. Some people talk about the bases of people that coalesce around those two candidates are suffering from some of the same problems, and they just see each of those figures as avenues to overcome those problems. So I'm very happy that people are at the very least able to think about how it is that they're living in shit, which a lot of people are. I read a lot of articles, probably not enough on the right wing, so I don't know quite enough about what it is that they're saying. I read a few articles from Breitbart. I think what a lot of these people that support Trump and support right wing or conservative candidates are going to realize is that these people have been writing checks for them that they can't possibly cash. They've been promising them that they have the answers for them. And I think that that bubble is going to burst, and those people are going to have to pay for that in time. Some people think that the rise of Trump is already payback for the Republican Party, for all of their years of what they call dog whistle politics, using racially coded language in order to make white people, many of them who are working class and poor, vote against their own economic interests because of their hatred towards black people, people of color, people in the LGBT community, and I think Trump is a representation of that argument to the max. And to me, it means that that bubble is getting bigger, and it's going to pop. I think these people are going to realize pretty soon that this line of thinking is not going to be what helps them to have economic stability. It's not going to help them have a better life.
I want to coincide when I see what I feel for in the Trump world, the communities that support Donald Trump. What I feel bad for is the line they're using is "Make America Great Again." And what I see is the same force field that has been used in the formation of white supremacy in the U.S. Back in the slavery days, is they're using that same coded propaganda that says, we are superior, we the white people are superior, and we are better than everybody else, and our country is better than everybody else, so we should be the best at everything there is and does, and we're going to blame everybody else. That is the same coded language that the KKK white supremacy has used since it's like was able to articulate a language to perpetuate this stigma from the top down to the bottom in order to make poor white people buy into this dream that if they believe in their whiteness, they believe that because of their skin tone or because of their culture, they're going to be better than everybody else. Then they're somehow going to enter into this dream and start making all this money, and everything's going to be more profitable if we just get rid of all these people of color. And what they don't realize is that's not exactly how this works. What's happening is while you're living on this dream, they're putting you to work to demolish everybody else that they feel is opposition, and they're stealing the money right out of their wallet. They're taking your bank account. All this stuff that we've had over the last decade, especially with dog whistle politics, Bush administration, all that was done by the same people who propagate this language against people of color in the LGBTQIA community. Am I wrong?
No, you're absolutely right. It has worked for them. They have been able to trick people. I mean, what can we say? We can make fun of them all we want and deride them if we want to. I'm sometimes drawn to that too, but we need to figure out a way to hone our argument, have our facts ready, and be engaging to bring people away from that, because the fact of the matter is that it does work for a lot of people. They know that when Donald Trump says "Make America Great Again," they know what he means by that. They know that that means a return to a time when white supremacy reigned in a more flagrant, obvious way. And that's attractive to them. So if we're smart, we have to figure out a way to make that more clear that that's not for them. Can't possibly be for them.
I need you to do something for me, because you said something earlier. You said two different things. One was dog whistle politics, which I love that phrase. And another thing you said was coded language.
Yes.
For all of our listeners out here who don't know what dog whistle politics are, or what that particular phrase means, or what coded language is, could you break down those two different things so maybe people have an understanding, or give some example, if you can?
Yeah. I want to say around the time of the Civil Rights Movement, when black people made hard-earned, well-deserved gains in their lives, it became politically unacceptable to, in the media, use the N-word. It became unacceptable to say, as a politician, I want to refuse black people people of color, but primarily black people, the civil rights movement about black people. I want to be able to withhold a decent standard of living, basic human dignity. I want to use my position as a politician and as an elected official to keep those people from ever seeing self-determination. That became unacceptable to say at that time. And what political strategists were able to develop was ways to get that same message across to the same racist base of people, and they were able to do it without actually saying those words. So they would use words like entitlement. They would use words like welfare queen, urban crime. These are terms that don't directly reference race, but they have been created in such a way that we immediately associate race with them. So it is a way to get around the widely agreed upon taboo of offensive language. So they call it a dog whistle, because if you actually have an actual dog whistle and you blow it with your mouth, dogs can hear it. Humans can't, right? So that's the bit. You know, they can say these things and get away with it because the media, of course, they do know what they're saying, but they're able to put it out there for everybody to take up. And the media are like the humans in that analogy.
It kind of reminds me of, like, when I was watching Family Guy, and they had...
What were you watching?
Family Guy. And
Family Guy. Oh, God. Okay.
I love that show. It's disgusting. Disgusting and disturbing. Go watch it, anybody. But I love it. I love trash TV.
Mm-hmm.
We all have our guilty pleasures. But one of the episodes, Stewie was watching a show, and the guy was, I forget what they were talking about, but in the middle of it, the guy comes in and he says, smoke. And then it goes back to the cartoon. And then the guy comes back randomly and says, are you smoking yet? And then Stewie's like, oh, my God, they're not even hiding it. And that's, to me, it's kind of like what dog whistle politics is. It's like, not everybody may understand it, but those certain people that the message is written for, they're going to hear it. And there's those certain, you know, and what happens is those certain communities that are affected negatively by those types of terms and that coded language, it starts to send a message to us. It sets a message to our self-esteem and to our perception of self. And it's scripted in such a way that it affects you before you even realize what they're talking about.
All right.
Because if you keep saying urban, well, you know the majority of African American communities are in urban areas. So when you hear them say things like nappy hair, you know most of the time they are talking about people of color because our hair is so kinky or wavy.
Mm-hmm.
And these types of terms are used to keep us in a negative self mindset in terms of we can't see ourselves as good. We don't see ourselves as healthy. We don't see ourselves as beautiful. We see ourselves as the other, and we see ourselves being objectified and treated, even by each other, as unworthy to be loved or socially unacceptable.
Oh God. So, sis, are we gonna talk about the trans community? Because I'm itching to talk about Caitlyn Jenner.
You really want to go there?
Yes, I want to go there. I want you to get in all your questions. I'm not trying to rush you.
No,
keep you from what you want to do.
Hold up.
But you said that this is about Trump versus the trans community. So let's actually get into the trans community bit. Okay.
I mean, I want to switch gears, and that can lead into Caitlyn Jenner. But let me jump into this really quick. That's going to lead into the Caitlyn Jenner for you.
Oh, good. Okay.
Because we're on Trump, but this is going to lead into this. So how do you feel like what's happening with Trump in regards to our community, meaning gender variant people, especially gender variant people of color? How do you feel like this is going to affect us?
Good question. So I think that I am more afraid of Trump's goons than I am of Trump himself, or the idea of a Trump presidency. I think that presidential powers, while great, are not everything. And having a Trump presidency would probably mean categorically him being blocked in the Congress and in the Senate if he tries to push for any of the things that he's campaigning on. So that's one. But his supporters, his goons, I guess I shouldn't call them goons. I made a note to myself not to name call and to focus on structures and not people.
If you
don't
call them out by name, you might as well come out and call them by their name. They are goons. They're like those things on the Mario movie from the early 90s. And the little Oompa dudes that come out and they're like giant dinosaurs that can't really think for themselves.
Koopa.
Yeah.
Right? Is that right? Well, anyway. I'm much more afraid of those types because they are they're being inspired by his calls to violence. I think they're being emboldened, where for some time people who are actual white supremacists, like very consciously white supremacists, white nationalists, Klansmen, people who are sort of extreme right wing, they are neo-Nazis.
Oh, wait, hold on. You forgot in the Stacey Dashes. Continue.
Oh, thank you. Let's throw her in the mix. I think that for the most part, until pretty recently, they've known that their ideas are marginal and they act accordingly or have acted accordingly, where certainly they have always been organized and have been talking to each other and building community. But now I think they have been emboldened, and Trump is giving them legitimacy in a way. And for me, Alyssa, someone who puts herself out quite literally in the street in demonstrations and protests, I feel like, if these people ever came out in droves, and I'm out there. I mean, they're going to have a target on me with my loud self, putting myself in front and center to make more people want to come out. So I think about that very direct threat to my safety. That is not to be understated, I think. And we're going to see more violence coming from them from here on out, I think.
I can't argue that point. I feel like part of the reason why I wanted to tag that particular touch on the trans community, the LGBTQ community in terms of dealing with people like Trump is for the simple fact that the last couple rallies where he has asked people, physically attacked people, to assault people, to degrade them, to humiliate them. It's the same kind of politics that we people who are gender variant have to deal with every day of our lives, whether we're passable in mainstream society or not. The minute we are exposed and we find, and people who are not fans or advocates of us for who we are put into a situation where we are often met with violence, whether it's with physical attacks or emotional or even verbal. There's always somebody with a negatory opinion based off of their lack of knowledge and awareness that they want to choose to belittle and to degrade us. For us who have an ear to hear and eyes to see, we are well aware of the same political conversation that leads to attacks and violence, which is not covered under the First Amendment. We see that playing out already based on our history and our own life experiences.
Interestingly enough, thank you for bringing me back. Actually speaking very specifically to Trump and his relationship to, or the way that he talks about the LGBT community. I hadn't even considered that, but I think, and I pay fairly close attention, and I actually don't think that I've heard him mention LGBT people once in this whole campaign, which is very interesting.
I haven't heard him once either, but I know that's because he ain't getting no gay stylist on point like he should, or else his hair wouldn't be going out like that. Bro, you from the East, you know the girls would not be playing that.
No, no, not at all. I saw a picture of him recently where you could see the, like a line of tape for the comb over that. Was but anyway, that's not really important. I don't want to talk about his hair.
It is important to me. I got to look at him. All
right.
Well, I just don't want nobody talking about my hair. People just like to post about him on my feed, honey, and I just be like, oh, God, that hair,
But I do. I think that's interesting that he hasn't brought them up, but I think that it's worth it to at least say that when he says, make America great again, right? Like whenever you evoke nostalgia, when anyone evokes nostalgia in a political sense, that means something. Things have not been great for everybody in the past, and there are people who have been very intentionally targeted for violence and not having any access to a decent way of life. Or protection under the law, which is another conversation. But making America great again would mean, in Trump's eyes, would certainly mean a rollback of any sort of gains that the LGBT community, oh, God, I hate saying that word, community. It really grinds my gears. But
I know, girl, because I know it ain't much of a community.
I usually roll my eyes when I hear someone talk about community, but that's also another topic that I don't want to take you off.
I would say LGBT, you know, instead of saying all every letter, you know, those human rights.
Yeah, or like those organizations, right? Like the people that support them.
Right.
But I don't want to get into semantics. On your show.
No, you're not. You're keeping them 1,000. You all know what she's trying to say. What she's saying is, long story short, if you ain't straight and white, people in general who are part of the same political hierarchy as Trump, well, when they say make America great again, they're saying let's make it white, male, female, marriage, white picket fence, a dog, and everybody else is a second-class citizen or we're going to pretend they don't exist.
Yeah.
Which is, like, historically, it's trying to happen, like, a gazillion times all across the globe in diverse other communities, and it never works.
No, it can't work. If it works for you, that's fine. I'm sure I know somebody that fits into that category. So I don't want to denigrate somebody if that does apply to them. But that can't possibly be a model that should be taken up by people. It's exclusive in its nature.
So now that we enter the, you know, the T's on that LGBT, what is
Thank
the
you.
Issue you got with the Jenner situation?
Oh, dear. All right. So,
hold on, y'all. Pull back your lace fronts because she's about to whip your wigs off. I just put all my extensions on the floor because I feel like she's about to spill some tea, rip off my lace, and slap me with it. So, no more Gilda, Ikoto.
Yeah. Be careful. Oh, God. So, she.
Before you say anything, I would hit it, though. I'm not even going to lie, y'all. If Jenna would be here, I'd say, hello, how are you doing?
Really?
I'm just nasty. I'm
really?
Just nasty like that, though. I
that's
think
all right.
Sexy.
No, that's okay. No,
I'm just nasty, though. I like it freaky.
Enjoy yourself, mama. It's no shade. So when she first sort of came onto the scene, I thought, okay, fine. I guess that's a net positive. Overall, it's not something that interests me particularly, but fine. But she has become iconic and representative, and I know that she feels like that's something that has been hoisted onto her, which is its own argument. What really got me to be actually anti-Caitlyn is her Republican politics. She just came out in support for Ted Cruz, for people who don't know. Ted Cruz is arguably as extreme as Donald Trump in a lot of ways. Some people
and delusional.
Some people say that he's worse than Donald Trump because I think most people can tell that Donald Trump is full of shit. And he doesn't even mean most of the things that he says, that he flies by the seat of his pants when he's talking to say something that will get a reaction out of the crowd. But Ted Cruz actually has conviction. He believes very deeply in an originalist interpretation of the Constitution and the Bible as being ways that we should be formulating law and policy in people's lives. And he really believes that in a way that I don't think that Donald Trump actually believes a lot of the shit that he says. Anyway, so Caitlyn Jenner just came out recently for him and said that she wants to be the, and I quote, trans ambassador to him in his campaign. And I lost my shit. My brain started to melt because now I feel like she has lost any credibility that she had previously, where she could sort of have the platform that she had because she's famous. She is a public figure, and based on that, fine. People are going to take pictures of you. People are going to read about you, and they're going to want to know about you. But now that you've opened your mouth and tossed your hat into the public political arena, now all bets are off, and I'm going to come for you. Because before, your notoriety was based around your identity, and I'm going to support trans people to whatever degree that I can on the basis of them being trans. So I've always wanted to defend her from attacks from the right? People who call her names and misgender her. I will always stick up for her on that note. And I'll say, I don't think she's a perfect person either, but don't misgender her. She's a woman, and let's be respectful of that. But now, more than ever,
she's being a right wing apologist. So why should I continue to support her from the people that she's aligning herself with politically in a very open and direct way? So I'm gonna let you catch whatever hell you get, and good luck to you, because you made a fool out of yourself.
See, the tea is this, is I would never, I ain't never been a Caitlyn Jenner fan. Not ever. Not ever. I have not given one fuck about some hoity-toity bitch with money who has the money to get everything done while the rest of us have had to turn coins. For those who don't understand what turn coins meant, we've had to escort, do porn, you know, sucking dick for dollar bills, eating pussy for them dollars, you know, whatever it's that we've had to do to get what we've had to get. I ain't never had no respect for a rich bitch that decides she want to transition later in life when she's sitting in privilege. I ain't got time for it. I don't care about it. I mean, maybe I just have a different perspective that's not, you know, that may be negative, but it's my truth. And I'm going to rep my truth wholeheartedly because I just don't see it for her. I see TV, I see radio, I see fame, I see celebrity, I see all this other stuff, but what I don't see is an accurate portrayal of the struggle. And for me, at least as the person that was coming from a place of advocacy, that was coming from a place of being a mentor, coming from a place of being a person that has worked with trans kids, you know, my God, telling the struggle of what they have been through to become what they are, it's just as critical as the destination.
That's right.
So I give her one ounce of praise, although I will say shout out to all those badass outfits she'd be wearing, though, because she'd be looking cute.
Yeah, she has a lot of money and a stylist and everything. Good for her.
Uh-huh, that Botox goes well. No tea, no shade.
Yeah, she has, her surge is cute. She looks nice. You know, the doctors are turning her out, but I'm jealous.
I'm not even gonna lie. Could you please say surge again?
Surge.
God.
Surge.
Y'all know
surge.
I'm living for my girls from the East Coast. I just live with my sisters from the East Coast. That accent, though, it just says everything for me.
I've been practicing to get rid of it.
No, don't you ever. I moved to Oregon, and I lost my Ohio accent, and it was over time. And so now I don't sound like I'm straight out of the country anymore. And I sound like whatever. Don't lose that accent. Mm. It's beautiful, and it's a part of your... It's, to me, at least, it's been a part of the journey of knowing you that it's brought flavor in a different perspective. Also, I want to also tag in that what also I think is beautiful about you is your Afro-Latina.
Thank you. Yeah.
Can you share, a little bit about that? Because there's not a lot of Afro-Latinas out, and you've been in Oregon for a while. You don't see too many of us out here. So
I'm from Jersey where a dime a dozen. So it's not a big deal. In Oregon, no, that's for sure. But on that, I think it's important for people to know that the African diaspora, the ways that while we all are from different places, we're all born and raised in different places in the world, that there is something to reclaiming that identity in ourselves. And in the United States, the struggle of African Americans is so it has so much meaning, so much depth, that I think that a lot of times there's a little bit of a resistance to allow for people who come from other parts of the world that come from the African diaspora. We almost feel like we don't want to acknowledge them as Black, and that's something that I used to struggle with because I have always felt very proud is a tricky word. Pride is a tricky concept, but I've always felt very comfortable and
You found beauty?
Ready to what? What'd you say?
Can I say you found beauty in your heritage,
your
lineage?
Thank you.
So I
own it, right? I own it, and I want to talk about it, and I want to claim it for myself. But there has been quite a bit of pushback from some people in the past who kind of don't want to let me have that. And I don't want to turn them into my enemies, but I disagree. I think that it's important to acknowledge Blackness and people from wherever in the world they come from. And certainly there were tragically many, many stolen Africans that were made to work in Puerto Rico, just like there were in the United States. And while, yes, the culture has been
so
very
shady.
Different.
Hold on, please don't forget it. I'm sorry. I'm so shady. Because as soon as you said they were made to work in Puerto Rico and all these other countries, all I could hear in the back of my head was Trump saying, make America great again. Because this is all the stuff that was used to reinforce the quote-unquote success of our nation, was the subjugation of people of color in order to work for minimal wages, if any, in order to reinforce the status quo of our country. So it's so funny. They use the same politics to degrade us and force us to hate ourselves and to rip ourselves apart because we didn't fit into a certain image, but used us for their labor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Just keep going. I'm just sorry. It was like,
No. That's an important point. The foundation, the rise, the very beginning of industrial capitalism came from slavery. We would not have a Wall Street that now dominates the world if it were not for the commodities that were sold that were only able to be what they were because there were so many stolen Africans and their descendants that were made to work under the threat of violence and death if they didn't and were paid no wages for it, that it made it profitable enough for people to establish a Wall Street in the first place, which is something that gets lost often. When people profess the glory of capitalism and all that it has to offer, very rarely do people talk about its infancy, how it came to be. And it came to be because of exploitation, because of death, because of genocide, degradation, humiliation. And there's never been a real look at repairing that. Reparations often is an issue that's not even on the political table. It's not a viable political option. So being that we've never wanted to repair that, we walk around pretty sick, and the sickness shows up every day in our lives, especially in politics. And that's how you get a Donald Trump in the first place, no?
Donald Trump is like this enigma to me, like this force of all this bullshit in this country balled up into one person, and you got Trump. He's like, oh my God, what's his name from X-Men? He's like, no, the bad guy, the big machine dude that wants to destroy the world.
I don't know. I don't follow that shit.
I can't remember his name. I'm going to remember after the show goes off and be so mad at myself.
You follow all of that? All of that X-Men. Marvel.
I am like an avid X-Men fan. I have been a fan.
Okay.
Apocalypse. That's his name. Apocalypse.
Okay.
I've been an X-Men fan since I was like a wee little naughty. So I was like 7 years old. It was one of the first shows I saw when I moved to the United States, and I loved it. It was actually because of Storm. That was my first major black figure that stood out to me and gave me a positive image of people of our culture.
Okay.
For people who don't know, I've known Alyssa for a few years, and we got... There was nothing personal. She just, for me, she had some things changed, and then she showed up on this side of the country a few years later. I couldn't find her. I was always a huge fan of Alyssa because I don't know if y'all get time to see her. She is gorgeous. Like, I just love her face. It's just like, woo, it's just sitting, y'all. She is one of the most beautiful women in the world to me. Like, I looked at her, I was like, oh my God, this is the motif. Like, this is where I'm trying to get in my life. She is just the it girl to me. There were very few women that I had seen as I was transitioning and coming into my own identity that I could actually relate to, because a lot of the girls I've met were really catty and were really mean. And for a long time, I started to become really catty and really mean. And then I realized that's not who I am. I did. I was a bitch.
I remember.
There is no shade to it. Me and my bestie, we talk about it all the time, because I have to thank him. He's like my bodyguard. He always looks out for me. He's like my dad as well. I always come to him in conversation about, you know, things in life, because he was the one that looked out for me when I started going through that phase of becoming a monster, becoming a bitch, and I was becoming mean. I didn't understand why I was becoming that, and he kind of enlightened me, and he was just like, yo, you're not going to be able to continue, you know, being a better person if you don't calm down on this shit and calm down with the attitude. And I didn't believe him, but over time I started to see how my actions were affecting other people around me, and I was just like, I have to check myself.
Yeah,
it's not cute anymore. The bitches I'm seeing act like this aren't productive members of society.
You're going to make me cry.
And so I saw Alyssa, and there was a couple of others, but it was Alyssa and like two or three other girls, and they're still on my Facebook. And I would look at them and I'd be like, wow, look how they act. Look how they conduct themselves. And ultimately, you always had this light that shined about you, this kind of a peacefulness, this kind of go-getterness. And I was just like, God, I like that. Mm. And it's just like, I don't know if you know, but you have this light that just shines out of you. And I really want to just let you know that your work has not been in vain. Your positivity has not been in vain. Everything that you do has been worth, because I have paid attention. And so I am so honored to have an advocate like you in my state, kicking ass, taking names, and being proud of who you are, what you are, where you've come from, and the things that you've been through to make you the person that you are. So thank you.
Oh, my God. Oh, you're going to make me cry. Okay. Oh, my God. I want to say thank you and ditto. And thank you and back at you, not ditto. But I want to touch on that a little bit and move away from me. I want to say that something that I know to be true from the girls that you're talking about, because a lot of those shady queens were my best friends. And the reason that I was able to love them and be with them, and the reason that I'm able to love and be with people that that in my life are repeating some of that same toxicity, is I know that comes from pain, that comes from trauma. That comes from the world beating you down and you feeling like you need to protect yourself somehow. And the way that you do it is by becoming venomous in a way, is by lashing out, is by creating enemies out of people that maybe aren't. because what else are you going to do with yourself because you feel so bad about yourself? So I get that, and I do my best to see the humanity in people who display some of that behavior regardless, especially if they're people that are like me, right, especially if they're people of color, if they're trans women. I know exactly where that comes from, and I want to ply those people with love anyway and let them know that I'm a safe person that they can talk to and that they can be around that doesn't have any bad intentions for them.
And it's so beautiful to hear that. We got to get ready to wrap up the show because we have our final song getting ready to come in. But once again, if people want to get a hold of you, how can they get a hold of you?
Oh, my goodness. So my name is Alyssa Pariah on Instagram. That's my URL on Facebook, too. I'm trying to do better about expanding my social media and my internet presence, but I'm not there yet. I need some help. If anybody's good at building out platforms, if anybody has some old video recording equipment or anything, holla at me.
Exactamundo. I want to thank you for being on the show today. Thank you for being an inspiration. Thank you for the conversation. Thank you for your input and your choice of language. To me, you're a rock star. And I'd like to turn the show over to the producer who wants to play our going out song.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah.
Hear the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the thrill.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous Stop. Love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is to go on this town tonight.
Your allegiance, this shop of season, all black, everything, black cars, all black, everything, and our girls are black birds, riding with they cylinders, I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough, this is not familiar, I'll explain later, but for now, let me get back to this paper, I'm a couple bands down, and I'm trying to get back, I gave the other grip, I lost a flip for 5 stacks, yeah, I'm talking 5,60, dot zero, here's a, back to running circles realm. Now we quit up, hold up.
Life's a game, but it's not fair. I break the rules, so I don't care.
Uh-huh.
I keep doing my own thing. Walking tall against the rain. Victory's within the mile. Almost there, don't give up now. Only thing that's on my mind is to go on this town tonight.
In a dark season, we follow the leader. So Eric B, we are microphone fiend. It's the return of the God. Peace God. It ain't nobody fresher. I'm in Mason. Martin Martella on the table screaming. The other side, they jealous. We got a banquet full of bras. They got a table full of fellas.
Yeah.
And they ain't spending no cake. They should throw their hand in because they ain't got no space.
Yeah.
My whole team got dough. So my banquet is looking like millionaires, bro. From being